Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
I put a lot of notes in slides every week. And I'll just be honest with you, in an attempt not to get roped to the slides, I just say, well, God, what do you want? Which one do you want me to point to here? Because I got a bunch of them. There are so many things that we've gone over in the last number of weeks. And I will say this, you know, even about it's important that you understand that the grace of God, again, you have got to adopt the mindset and understanding through the grace of God. The gospel of grace is about a gospel of His presence and a gospel of His power unified and fused together with the human being. That is why the gospel is great. That's why it is the gospel. If any of you have not downloaded by Dropbox the messages on your phone, if you don't have them on your phone, put them on your computer. Because you don't want to end up in a year in a different place than everyone else in the church. And I don't say that in a bad way, but I'm saying the Spirit of God is the one who's trying to get us to develop a hunger that will catapult us into the reality of things that He knows He wants to put into our lives and in our midst as a culture. So, if any of you haven't downloaded those, and I already know who you are. Do yourself and your life a favor and go for it. And if you don't have the email, I mean, all you got to do is just email me, and I won't put it on the prayer chain. And no one will know. I'll send you the email again, so you can at least get them on your computer. So that, I mean, these six messages that I put on Dropbox for this month, I will say this, they are so amazing and so foundational in our life as a church. I get really enthused when God shows me things and then months later or years later, I hear somebody else teaching things that He showed me, so I know I'm not off track. It really does amazing things for me. But these messages are so crucial. I'm going to keep them on there for next month in July. So please listen to them over and over and over again. You say, when can I stop listening to them? You can stop listening to them when you actually become those messages and they are your life, every day of your life. When you become those messages, then you know you've listened to them enough. If you haven't become those messages, then you need to listen to it again. It's not about collecting information. We're not like the Athenians who like to collect teachings and then swap teachings amongst ourselves. The reason the Spirit of God gives us revelation into the things of the unseen realm is because He's trying to move us up into those things, not just give us another doctrine to adopt. And one of the things that I love about what was said in some of those teachings is we've got to come to a place in our life where the subject of healing and laying hands on the sick is not just a doctrine we applaud. I'm going to say that again. It's good that we applaud it, but it needs to move from being something we applaud to something that we live every day of our life. There's a reason why Jesus said the harvest is white. The harvest is white. And it's not because everybody wants to hear about Jesus dying on the cross. It's because darkness has beaten the hell out of everybody. You can't walk 15 feet without finding some kind of infirmity that's hitting somebody. You just can't. Another thing that was said, I thought it was a pretty amazing thought, was if everybody in the church who said they believed in healing practiced laying hands on the sick and seeing God heal people, there would no longer be a branch of the church that didn't believe in healing. Do I need to say that again? If everyone in the church who said they believed in healing practiced laying hands on people, you know what's so funny is you can say, can I bless you? And part of the blessing is being free from disease. Right? So even if you don't even know what you're doing, but you just say, I just believe the Lord wants to bless you, God wants to bless you, would you allow me to pray a blessing over your life? It's amazing, folks. People want somebody to care. They don't not want Jesus. This last week, we went to the mall, and people, they'll let you pray for them right then and there. They'll let you. They just want somebody to care. So, make it a life habit to listen to these MP3s. Anyway. What's that? Yes, it's for effect. Okay, here's a question. Oh, I don't have my rocks, man. Thank you. Okay, this is open forum. The image on the screen is a picture of a cross. And the question is, when you see a cross, what is the first thing that comes into focus about you? And be honest. Sacrifice. Who's that? I'm not going to throw it out. I'll find this.
Don't throw rocks at your mouth.
Remember, these are magnetic, so you want to collect a bunch of. Sacrifice. What else? About you. What is it? You're chosen. I used to play baseball, so I can hit a target. I can hit the broadside of a barn. Anybody else? Come on, you all are alive. You all have pulses.
That I'm there with him.
That you're there with him. That you're there on the cross. How many have that thought? I grew up with that thought. Brother, I feel your pain. You raised your hand, so that's good enough for a rock. What's that? Yeah, there you go. That's a good one there. Did you put him there? That's a two rock deal there. Did you put him there? Yeah, because here's one. I'm not going to give myself a rock, but that it should have been you. You ever heard that? It should have been you. Anybody else? Complete redemption. So when you see that cross, it tells you about you that you have complete redemption. What does that mean?
Nothing missing, nothing broken, I'm whole, I'm complete. He is my salvation, he is my Lord, he restores.
Okay. Anybody else?
I belong.
That you belong. He made you belong. You are now part of the club. There you go. What do you got? You got something. What do you got?
I'm going to say unconditional love because I know who I am, who I've been. That God has so loved me for all that. I want to draw closer than that. That always strikes me.
That's good. That's a good answer.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Come on, man. I got three rocks left. No, I got a whole tub left, but I got three in my hand here. Any more? Any more? Anybody? Anybody? Bueller? Bueller? Hey, yeah, you guys need to come on up here, man, because you're missing in all the fun. Yeah, go ahead.
His forgiveness.
Yeah. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Yeah, why don't you guys come on up here? You're missing out on the rock fun. I don't see you guys back there, so I forget you're back there. All I see is a head. Okay. Well, those are all good answers. Now I want you to forget what you said. Especially the ones that was, it should have been you, or it's you on that cross, or whatever. And some of those ones that are kind of have a dig to them, you need to completely flush those. Who said that? You said healing? You want another rock, man. I got to skim through all these notes we're not going to go through today. I know, because there's a ton of notes. I mean, I would have redone my whole entire message last week, but I don't know how to do that, honestly. I know there's a way to log into the site and you can see them on your phone, but I don't know. We talked about the fact what grace is. The grace is the presence and the power of God. That is what makes the gospel the gospel. We're the ones that change it to something else. But the gospel of grace is the gospel. It's not the gospel of mercy, even though His mercy is part of that. Sometimes I wish we could just eliminate the word mercy altogether, because we put our own spin on that word, and just use the phrases the loving kindness of God and the grace of God. The loving kindness of God is the mercy of God. And then the grace of God could be the presence of Him and the power that accompanies that, and we could put this gospel back on the right track. So, in previous weeks, we saw verses like Romans 11:36 that God is the source and sustainer of everything. Everything finds fulfillment in Him, and may all praise and honor be given to Him forever. He is the source of everything. And then we talked about faith, that faith, one translation says that faith is the assurance of things hope for. It's the conviction of things not seen. I actually like the word assurance when you put it in the context of, the King James says it's the evidence of things. Faith is the evidence of things. So the assurance of things, the evidence of things, it's the same thing. Faith is what Father uses to communicate to you what belongs to you. You say, how do you know that? Well, you don't have to read very far in Hebrews to see, in light of that verse, it says, by it men of old gained approval, or you could, one translation, I believe, says, obtained a good testimony. Well, that's something that's speaking to you. So faith speaks to you. Faith communicates to you. It's not something that you muster up. Honestly, folks, I don't know how we've got messed up on this. We've gotten so fragmented in our theology, And we haven't realized that while we praise and yelp and cheer and praise the Lord that, you know, he's the author and the finisher of our faith, but we don't even realize what we're saying. If he's the author of your faith, why are you trying to get it? It comes from him. Your Bible in Hebrews says that it's the evidence of things. It's the assurance of things. It says that by it the men of old gained approval or obtained testimony. In Hebrews 11:5 it says that Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. But before he left, he was not found because God took him up. But it says, but before he left, he obtained the witness. Everybody say obtained the witness. This is what faith does. It gives you, it bears you witness. It's the number one way the Spirit of God works. The reason you knew Jesus as Lord is because the Spirit bore witness, Romans chapter 8, in your heart that he was who he said he was. That bearing witness was faith being revealed to you. It's all over our Bibles, guys. What would happen to the body of Christ when we realize that we can stop wasting our time trying to get faith and just spend time with our daddy in his word? And like it was said this morning, pursue him, pursue knowing him, knowing how he thinks. He loves sharing how he thinks. If you'll spend time with him, he'll share things with you. And when he shares things with you, revelation and faith are connected together. When something is revealed, faith is showing you that it's yours. Is there any confusion on this yet? Notice this. Hebrews 11:13. All these died in faith, all these Old Testament saints, without receiving the promises, but having seen. I wonder where they saw. What did they see? It says, having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. What did they see? They saw what faith showed them. Everybody say it. Faith is a revealer of things not seen with the natural eye. It comes from Father. It's the evidence of things. It's his communication system to you. You really want to get this, folks, because if you'll get this, then you'll understand that in the midst of external situations that are pushing you and pressing you. I don't know if it was before in our, it was during our praise and worship, it was before in our practice, but it was brought out that the Spirit of God wants to show you solutions in the midst of mess. And when you get a revelation of something, that's your answer. Walk that out. That's faith showing you how to turn things. Know what to do with it. Walk it out. Hebrews 11:1 in the NSB says, faith is the assurance of things not seen. It is because it came from him. He's assuring you that they're there and they belong to you. Hebrews 12:2 in the King James says, we look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the author of our faith and he's the perfecter of our faith. How does he perfect our faith? I love this. I love this version in the Passion Translation 11 in Hebrews 12:2. We look away from the natural realm. We fasten our gaze onto Jesus, who birthed faith within us. Everybody say, birth faith within me. And then he leads us forward into faith's perfection. How does he do that? Well, does your Bible say that faith works through love in operation? I'm sorry, does your Bible say faith works through love? Last I checked, I think mine does. Faith works through love in operation. So he births faith in you to come into the kingdom. He's given every man a measure of faith. How does he bring it into perfection? Well, he just asks that you hang around him. Because the only thing that comes out of him is, when he opens his mouth, the only thing that comes out of him is love. What does that love do? Well, like we've talked about in previous weeks, that love lifts you up, raises you up closer into him, draws you into his heart, and literally, if you'll let it and not hold on to the natural mess between your two ears, it will literally cleanse you from all of the thoughts that drag you in the dirt. And he'll cause you to become Teflon, and none of those things will ever have an effect on you ever again. So you find yourself thinking just like your father. So when you think just like your father, when information comes from him to you, it doesn't get contaminated or buried behind a bunch of other mess. That's why Jude says when you pray out of your spirit, you pray in your spirit, you're keeping yourself in the love of God, and the result of that is you are being built up on your most uncontaminated flow of faith. Have you ever put two and two together? Isn't that amazing? I feel like it's like that Intel sticker. It's all inside. It's in your Bible. It's all inside. Galatians 2:20, Paul said, "The life that I now live, the anointed one lives on the inside of me, the life that I now live in union with him. My life is empowered by the faith of the Son." Mark 11:23, we looked at this last week. Jesus said, "Let the faith of God be in you. Let it be in you." That must mean it doesn't come from you. Let it be in you. And then he said, if it's in you, he says, if you have great faith, which is obviously the Father's faith in you, and you operating from that place of his faith being in you, you will turn and you say to a mountain, be lifted up, thrown in the midst of the sea, and believe that what you say is happening, it will be done. And then verse 24, this is the reason I urge you to boldly believe for whatever you ask in prayer. Believe that you've received it. Now, I want you to see that phrase, received it, in a whole different light than you've ever seen it before, when you finally realize that faith is coming from him to you, showing you things that belong to you. And Jesus is saying, have the faith of God. So when he says, believe, you believe you've received it, faith and revelation are tied together. So when it comes to you and you're functioning and you're living from that place of what was revealed to you, that's what receiving it means. For so long, we've read these verses and we mindlessly walk around, I receive it, 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 I believe I receive it, I receive it, I receive it, I receive it. You don't know what you're saying. What? Well, the things I'm believing for. No. How about what faith revealed to you that you turned around and put a voice to? Hello? You received it because faith revealed it to you, so you believe you received it. You believe you received what faith revealed. That's your foundation. Jesus said in another verse with the centurion that he had great faith because he said, hey, Jesus, look, I'm a man that is under authority. And I know you're under authority, and I understand the process. That because I'm under authority, I can say to this one, go, and he goes, and this one, come, and he comes. Same thing Jesus said here in Mark 11. If you'll receive the faith of God, or literally, if you'll submit yourself up under the authority of the faith that was revealed to you, turn around and live life from that revelation, then everything has to obey what you say. It's the same thing he said in another place where he said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound, having been bound in heaven. But you have to get the revelation. You have to get, faith has to reveal to you that it's bound so that you can stand on that. That's why we want to spend time with him. You want him to show you real-time things that are going on and let faith show you things real-time so that you can act and live real-time. Not based on something that was said 20 years ago by some tape or some DVD. I didn't have DVD 20 years ago. But you know what I'm saying? We gotta live in the now. We can't live from our roller. Those things were fantastic. I listen to the things. I have an iPod that holds so much material I can't possibly listen to it all in a month. probably in a year. And I've got that puppy constantly on. But I'm not looking to grab something that was said so that I can live from there. I'm looking for something that was said so that the Spirit of God can add revelation to that so I can live from that revelation. Because that's what brings it into the real time right now that has the power to it. So, let me show you this. We're going to skip forward. So those are some things we went through the last couple of weeks. And I would admonish you, look, don't be too busy. You can't go back and listen to these things over again, because what's your job? As a new creation man and woman, your job is to farm revelation from the Spirit of God out of the Word of God. Because it's from that revelation that He's trying to get you to stand. You'll submit up to it. If you submit up under it, you're a man or a woman up under authority. And then when you say to this, go and it goes, or say to this, come and it comes, they will obey you. Does that make sense? Now, I asked you about the cross this morning. Real quick. I know it's somewhere in these notes. First John 4:16 says this. We've come into an intimate experience with God's love. I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. We've come into an intimate experience with God's love, and we trust in the love He has for us. God is love. Those who are living in love are living in God, and God's living through them. By living in God, love has been brought into its full expression in us. 1 John 2:7 says, Beloved, I'm not writing a new commandment to you, but I'm an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. What do you bet that was? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might. And the second one is as important, love your neighbor as yourself. I know it was, because Jesus said that's the number one, number two, and John was Jesus' boy. So much of what you see in 1 John, he heard Jesus say in the book of John. He recorded it. Mark chapter 12, verse 29 said, Jesus said, I want you to get this. Holy Spirit, open their eyes and let them see this in full force. The most important of all the commandments is this. The Lord Yahweh, our God, is, what's the next word? One. Everybody say one. You are to love the Lord Yahweh, your God, with every passion of your heart, with all your energy of your being, this is the Passion Translation, and every thought that is within you, and with all your strength. This is the great and supreme commandment, and the second one is this. You must love your neighbor in the same way you love yourself. You'll never find a greater commandment than these. We know this is the commandment John was talking about in 1 John, that I'm telling you an old commandment. I'm writing you an old commandment, which you've heard from the beginning, which was that one we just read. But notice what he says here in verse 8. On the other hand, I'm writing a new commandment to you. Now make up your mind, John. It's either old or new. Which one is it? Well, he's reminding them of an old commandment, but he's setting it in the parameters of the new covenant. So it's an old commandment that you've always heard. You're very familiar with it. But yet I'm writing you a new commandment. Because that commandment in the new covenant setting looks a little bit different. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true. Here's the new setting. In Him and in you. So the new covenant took the old covenant commandment of love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, and all your strength. Or as the Passion Translation says, with every passion, with all your energy, with every thought, with all your strength. And put it in the new covenant reality, which is the same thing that's true with Him is true in you. Why? Because you don't exist. You don't have your own energy, your own passion, your own thought. It's all His. Because the same thing that's true in Him is true in you. You say, well, I have my own passion. Well, don't tell on yourself. Because when you spend time with Him, His passions, His thoughts, and His strength become your passion, your thoughts, and your strength. Right? Paul said, the life that I now live is hidden. Everybody say hidden. In Him. Colossians 3, Paul writes it like this. When the life that's in you is revealed, you'll realize that when the life of Christ is revealed, you'll realize that as you're looking at it, that's also your life being revealed right then and there. So there is no separate lives. Why is that? It's because of the cross. When you notice this in Mark 12:29, when Jesus said, the most important of all commandments is this, the Lord Yahweh is one. Everybody say one.
One.
That word one, in the new covenant, that makes sense. Because we are inside of Him. Because that word in the Greek language, that word one literally means one virtually by union. In fact, in a previous verse, in two verses before, Jesus told the religious community that was trying to make an argument about, you know, who gets to marry who or whatever and all this. He said, you badly misunderstand it, because God is a God of the living. He's a God of the living. Now put that in New Covenant. He's always said this, I will be among them. I will walk among them. So when Father is explaining things and talking about it, in His mind, He doesn't see Himself and then you. He doesn't see Himself and then Jesus and then you. He sees Himself and Jesus and you are in Him. We're all one unit with Him. He's always seen it that way. That's the reason Jesus went to the cross, to seal it up forever. We're the ones, because we've listened to religious voices and religious thought processes have you ever seen an egg where you, like, I don't know how you do it, but you, like, separate the yolk out from the rest of the egg? So then you got this yolk, and then you got all the rest of it. I guess it's the whites. We're the ones, so to speak, that have separated ourselves out from inside of God. We did that. We let our circumstances speak to us. We let our emotions speak to us. We let all these things, peripheral things, speak to us. And so we separated ourselves out from the inside of God. And then we view scriptures. We read scriptures. Everything we do is as a third entity. And Father doesn't see you that way. Watch this. So as the old commandment, you know, there was a separate entity, you, and then you're supposed to love toward Him with all your strength, all your... Is this okay, or am I boring people? As an old covenant, you were living outside of Him, and you would direct your energy and your strength and your thoughts towards Him. But the new covenant, He puts you inside of Him. There is no separate entity now. The same thing that is in Him is in you. So it's one unit. It's the fulfillment of what Jesus was talking about in Matthew or Mark chapter 12. So, the reason why you love Him with all your passion is because it's His passion. The reason why you love Him with all your energy is because it's His energy. And the reason you love Him with all your thoughts is because those thoughts came from Him. And the reason you love Him with all your strength is because that strength comes from Him. That's called the gospel of grace. That's the gospel of His presence and the working of His power. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. He wasn't saying, I am what I am by the mercy of God. I'm glad He didn't roast me and throw me into hell. He wasn't saying that. He said, I am what I am because I depend on His presence and His power working in my midst wherever I go. Colossians 1:21-23. You guys ready? You guys ready to have a new thought about the cross? Okay, one person. Who's that one person? I'll teach to you. Okay, I'll teach you. Anybody else ready to have a new thought about the cross?
Yeah.
Did you hear anything? Okay. Colossians 1, 21 through 23. By the blood of the cross. Everybody say the blood of the cross. Everything in heaven and on earth is restored back to, brought back to Himself. Back to its original intent, restored to innocence again. He released His supernatural peace to you through the sacrifice of His own body as the sin payment on your behalf so that you would dwell in His presence. Now there is nothing between you and Father God, for He sees you as holy, flawless, restored, continuing to advance in faith, assured of a firm foundation to grow upon. Where's that firm foundation? You're inside of Him. If you're inside of Him, you ought to have really, 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 really good reception of what faith is trying to reveal. Don't you think? I mean, there's some places, my cell phone, the service really is lousy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm in a building, like, I can't even, I don't care if I stood in my, I don't get any signals at all. I am convinced that the law firm that I work for, there's some kind of force field around it. That if I'm anywhere near it, I get no signal, even if I'm outside. Yeah. But once I move out from the shadow of that, all of a sudden my phone starts working. But it's the opposite effect when you are in Him. By the blood of His cross, everything in heaven and earth was restored back to Himself. Let me ask you a question. Was there blood shed on the cross? Yes. So since the blood was shed on the blood of the cross speaks to the fact that you no longer exist. I'm going to let that sink in. See, what have we done? The Christianity that has been passed down to us has been, we're still a viable entity in this equation. And we turned the cross into an object to bring shame and manipulate us to repentance instead of realizing that the blood of the cross that was shed is simply telling you the old man that you used to know does not exist anymore. Doesn't exist. Gone forever. Notice what it keeps on going to say. That's Colossians 1:21. Colossians 2:11. This is all in the same letter, guys. Through our union with Him, we have experienced circumcision of heart. All of the guilt and the power of sin has been cut away and is now, what's the last word? Extinct. Extinct. Ever say extinct? So let me ask you, when was the last time that, other than at an amusement park, when was the last time you were walking in the park and all of a sudden you turned around and you realized that a Tyrannosaurus Rex was chasing you with his little arms, trying to get you? Have you ever had that experience?
No.
You know why? Because he's extinct. He doesn't exist. Thank you. He doesn't exist. Guess what? The old guy doesn't exist. I'm telling you from the courts of heaven, he doesn't exist. The blood of the cross speaks to your extinction. It speaks to the fact. Notice the next verse. It speaks to the fact that you've been restored back into Him. Now notice this next verse. So the blood of the cross speaks to the fact that you've been restored back into Him. That means you cease to exist. You could say it like this. The blood of the cross simply is declaring that you're back inside of God. When was the last time you opened your mouth to anybody? If you want to see a shock, I want to do Man on the Street so bad. You ever know what that is? There's so many things I want to just spring on people with a microphone and see what their reaction and a camera. One of which is, do you realize that you got put back into God? And see what their reaction is. The blood of the cross puts you back inside of God. Did you know that? Did you know that I was never taught that my entire life? And neither were you, because all the answers you gave before we started, none of them were that. But the blood of the cross speaks to you being back inside of God. Notice Colossians 2:11. It says, your union with Him, all of the guilt, power of sin has been cut away and is now extinct. Now notice this one, Colossians 2:14. Through the divine authority of the cross. Did you know that the divine authority, that the cross has divine authority? Did you know the cross has authority in the spirit realm? And I looked in my New American Standard Bible, and unfortunately, it doesn't bring any of this out. I'm reading out of the Passion Translation because he pulls a lot of things from the Aramaic. And I love what he pulls out in these verses about the cross, because we don't necessarily get it from our print in any other translation. But he says the divine authority of his cross canceled out every legal violation we had on our record, the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. If you think that's good, watch this. He erased it all. Everybody say erased. Our sins, even our stained soul. There's a lot of believers, man, they need their stained soul erased. It's been erased. As far as he's concerned, it's been erased. My wife had this experience once. Hopefully it'll only be once. She did a lot of work on, she took over a new classroom, new kids, and she did a lot of work on a thumb drive. She made all these documents, all these things, all through the year. She put all this stuff together. You know, the idea is you want to do it once, and then you have it for the next years. Wrong. Something happened. It was the devil. She went to pull on it. She started a new year. She went to access some of the documents she'd saved, and she put the thumb drive in. And the puppy was completely blank. Nothing was retrievable. We tried. It was completely erased. How many, you know, when you get a computer, you have a computer, you ever notice that as the computer gets more and more use, it gets slower and slower? Do you notice that? I had a guy tell me one time that a lot of times you have to literally wipe the entire deal and reload the operating system to start over so that it's back where it used to be. And then reload all your stuff back on it. Because stuff starts getting on the computer, just starts going on, adding to the computer, slowing it down. All that extra baggage causes it to slow down. Well, folks, the new birth is like he just erased the hard drive. Not only did he erase the hard drive, he didn't put that lame operating system that was on there back on there. He put his own operating system on there, and it's completely different. It has capabilities that that old system didn't have, but he wiped the entire drive. That's the authority that the cross communicates to the unseen realm. I don't know what you boys think you have on those folks, but it's gone. It doesn't exist anymore. It's been completely wiped. There is absolutely no record of anything that would cause shame, any failures. It's been deleted completely, and it cannot be retrieved. That's the authority that the cross communicates to the eternal realm. And I love this next one. Colossians 2:15. Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities and darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and their power to accuse us by the power of the cross. So the blood of the cross restored and unified you back inside of God. Somebody ought to cheer for that one. The authority that the cross communicates in the eternal realm to darkness is, it's canceled, erased, including your stained soul, any shame of failure, and everything. It's deleted it all. And the power of that cross, as far as darkness is concerned, it stripped them of all of their resources and threw them into prison. You know, when you go into jail, you know, you can't bring in your own shoes and your own... Not that I've been there, but when you go to jail, they take everything away. Everything you think you owned, it no longer belongs to you. That's the raw power of the cross in the unseen realm. Darkness has been lying to you all this time, trying to cause you to have guilt, cause you to dwell on failures, cause you to back away from stepping out on things you see in the Word of God by manipulation and condemnation, when the whole time it's an illegal action to begin with. Because A, the blood of the cross, I mean, who are they speaking to? Who are they trying to make feel guilty? Who are they trying to heap condemnation on? That person no longer exists. Because the blood says you're inside of God. There is no way they can get to you there. Who are they trying to make feel bad? We are the ones that just didn't know. We thought it was a nice theological concept that our life was hidden in Him. We didn't realize that the very blood of Jesus that He poured out on the cross is telling you that you are back inside of God. The authority of that cross is telling and communicating that anything that used to be connected to that old person is completely eradicated. It no longer exists. It's been deleted. It will never be retrieved. There's not even a trace of evidence. I know on hard drives there's ways you can some kind of way retrieve stuff. But let me tell you, on this supernatural hard drive, there ain't no way nothing can be retrieved ever, because that person doesn't exist. You might as well say that the blood of the cross basically puts you inside of God, and the shadow of what used to be was put into the incinerator, and it no longer exists. Therefore, there's nothing for darkness to have anything stick to. There is no more guilt. There is no more failure. There is nothing, because that person doesn't exist anymore. They're inside of God. Oh, and by the way, the authority of the cross, the power of that cross, you've all been put in prison. Darkness. I stripped you of all your resources. You have nothing. You have no angle. You have nothing to accuse anybody with. Now, when you see a cross, that's what you're supposed to see. Folks, I was raised in church my whole life. I never saw that one time. All the things that you said, that's what I heard. But your Father wants you to see that. Colossians 1:29 says, now, in the spirit of being one with Father, it's become my inspiration and my passion in ministry to labor with a tireless intensity, with His power flowing through me, to present to every believer, or you could just say, to present the revelation of being perfect in Jesus. You want to blow somebody's mind, go up to them and communicate. See, we've got to learn, folks. We've got to learn Holy Spirit ways to communicate the reality of the gospel, and not this canned spam crap that we've been passed down for decades upon decades upon decades upon decades. We wonder why people are running from the church. Is because first we got to get the message right. There's not a human being on the planet that's breathing that doesn't carry around the baggage of something they wish they've never done. And we walk up to them and say, you just need to know. I told a kid that... this last week, I told him, I said, hey, you know, Because he was raised in church. He's running from church. He wasn't going to do church. His family was all, quote, religious, which means they're too much for me. But I told him, hey, did you know that the New Testament reality is that when Jesus was raised up and sat next to Father, that he sat you right next to him? You just see the eyes glass over. Huh? I said, yeah, when the Father looks down the row, he sees you. You know, your New Testament tells you that. How many ways can we communicate the reality of the gospel? I challenge you this next week. Take these notes you've been taking in this series and find new ways to communicate. There's plenty in just Colossians. You say, well, I don't have the Passion Translation. Well, Amazon hasn't died. Go get it. You'll spend $6 on a hamburger somewhere else. Go get it. It's all about priorities, folks. You can spend your whole life just reading Colossians in this translation, and you'll have more revelation that you know what to do with to communicate the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Colossians 2, verse 2 and 3, my prayer, and I'm done. For all you, that is, that your hearts will be woven together into love's fabric. You remember that a couple weeks ago I had that piece of fabric? And I had a string, and then I had that piece of fabric, and I passed that fabric around, and I says, show me where there, point out an individual thread in this piece of fabric. You couldn't. I says, most people are trying to live like this piece of string. It was funny because the string was frayed on the end and there was actually three strands that came out from that. So it was me, myself, and I. But heaven's reality is not you as a piece of string. It's you in that piece of fabric. You can't tell where one string ends and another one begins because they're all woven together. Paul said, in light of you being in union with him, it's not just, you know, it's not the picture of him with his arm around you and your buddy. No, you're inside of God now. Everybody say that. I'm inside of God. I realize that I'm you know, any thought processes that don't understand this are going to, if they hear this, they're going to say, well, that church is teaching heresy. No, I'm teaching you the Word of God. The blood declares you inside of Father. The authority of the cross says that there is absolutely nothing, no trace of anything to bring guilt and shame and condemnation on your head at all. And the power of that cross simply has put the powers of darkness in prison and eliminated any resource they would ever have to heap blame and shame on your head. Ever. That's something worth shouting about. These are the realities that Paul wrote in his writings. He said, the certainty of your faith will give you access to all of the riches of God as you experience the revelation of Christ unveiled within you. It's so amazing. He put you into him and him into you. There literally is no separation. Everybody say this, I've been absorbed. You've been absorbed. Say it again. I've been absorbed. No wonder your faith is certain, because you've been absorbed into Him. That's pretty clear communication. The faith will reveal things to you. The certainty of your faith will give you access to all the riches of God as you experience the revelation of God's great mystery, Christ unveiled within you like hidden treasure. Everybody say hidden treasure. Waiting to be discovered. Heaven's wisdom and endless. Everybody say endless. Revelation knowledge. You've been absorbed into Him. The blood declares you are now inside of Father. The authority of that cross, it declares that there is nothing to hang blame and shame on. And the powers of darkness have been put into prison. They have zero resources to do anything because you are inside of Him. What are they going to do? Try to throw an insult God's way? Colossians 2:17 says the body is now Christ. Why? Because you don't exist. Colossians 3:5. So consider your life in the natural realm as already dead. Because you don't exist. The blood declares that. Live as one who has died in every form of sexual sin and impurity. Now this next phrase, live as one who died to diseases. That only shows up in the Aramaic. How does sickness and disease, infirmity, whatever it is, how in the world does it have any footing at all in our lives if we're inside of God? This is not a theory, folks. This is heaven's reality. This is the eternal. When heaven burns up and, I mean, when, sorry. Edit. When the earth burns up and it's gone, and the new earth that replicates heaven, there is no disease inside of God. You are hidden in Him. What do you do with that? You meditate on these things from your Bible until faith revelation comes to you. And once faith revelation comes to you, then you stand like He did in Mark 11, and you turn and you speak to that mountain and say, be removed and be cast into the sea. There's another thought process in that. That whole mountain and the sea thing. And it's only in the footnotes of the Passion Translation in the book of Mark, chapter 11. The writer says this, in your Bible, and this is true, in your Bible, mountains are a type of kingdom. Right? Mountains are kingdoms. The sea, in your Bible, oftentimes when you see the word oceans or seas, it's talking about masses of people. So now take Mark 11:23 and say it like this. Receive faith's revelation. Submit yourself up under that as one under authority. Then go into the nations and understand that whatever you say, you're bringing the king, the mountain of the kingdom, and commanding it to land right in the middle of the ocean of people and cause its effect. Everywhere you look, folks, it always comes back to this one thing. Your life is inside of Father. When we don't understand things, run to Him. When we want to get answers to things, run to Him. His love will lift you up into Him, into His heart. Faith will come, revelation will flow. I should say that the other way. Revelation will come, faith will flow. It will reveal to you the solution that you were looking for. And then you can turn and speak to anything from that place of kingdom authority inside of Father. And Jesus said everything happens from that place. See, what in the world does this have to do with authentic community? Let me stand up. This is my last verse. Now that you've embraced the new creation life, how many have embraced the new creation life?
Yes.
If you've embraced the new creation life, raise your hand. Lay aside your old Adam self with its masquerade and disguise. That's how all of this has to do with authentic community. The only reason that you find inauthentic community inside of local church bodies is because we're not living from inside of Him, we're living from inside of us. So we're posturing, we're trying to make a certain appearance, we're trying to sound a certain way, we're trying to appear a certain way, we're trying to be that a spiritual leader, we're trying to act like we're the mature one, we're trying to do all this stuff, and when we're just faking it. Let's just live inside of Him The word says when you humble yourself, he'll exalt you. What happens when we build, when a church is built where everyone knows that that's home base? And we learn and we know how to live from that place. So everything we do is from that place. It's authentic. Because we understand how the system is set up. Look, you can't get in pride when you're living from inside of him. Because you'll spend too much time being in awe of him. The only reason that we have pride and arrogance and stupid things said in local church settings and local body settings is because somebody got out from underneath his shadow and was impressed with their own. You just can't live that way. You can't live it. All the things that mess up a local church and mess up relationships inside of a local church, all those things are there just because we just quite haven't mastered the lifestyle of living inside of God. And I'm going to say this. There are people here that you've had things spoken over you in your lifetime. Even if it was either from people outside or if it was darkness yapping in your ear. And it's caused you to back up and back away. I'll be the first one to admit, there was a stretch in my life where I hadn't prayed for a sick person for 20 years. I could be all spiritual and say, well, you know, give you some lame reason. But the reality was, yapping in my head was, you can't heal nothing. Remember that one gal you tried to pray for that had leukemia? She died. So then without me realizing it, I just kind of backed up. Some of you have the same kind of things. Some of you, you've had things spoken over you from people, natural people, that didn't have the vantage point that Father has. But you listen. The blood of the cross says you're inside of him. The authority of that cross says there is nothing to hang blame and shame on. And the reality is darkness has been put in prison. They've been stripped of all of their authority to even bring any kind of accusation. I want to speak to those words that have been spoken over you right now in the name of the Jesus, in the name of Jesus, and I just declare that the power of those words are broken right now. In the name of Jesus. All of the hurt, all of the hooks, all of the accusations, all of the condemnation that was designed to steer you a certain direction is broken right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. You receive that. Put your hands up in the air. Just begin to worship him. May your presence come and rest upon them. It used to be an old song we sang years ago. Let the rain of your presence fall on me. I don't know all the words, and I'm not going to sing it, sorry. But it just came to me right now. You were created for greatness. You were created to create great things. You were created with a complete, clear pipeline to the wisdom and revelation of heaven. Your future and your destiny are connected to that revelation. Father, I thank you for these people. I thank you for ministering to them. Father, I thank you that the light of your glorious gospel will just go off on the inside of them. And they'll sever natural connections. And they'll run to you. They'll not allow those natural connections to speak into their life ever again until they line up with you. They won't allow those natural connections to speak into their life until those natural connections speak to them like they would speak to Father. Holy Spirit, let those words settle into the hearts of the hearers. No one is to speak into their life that they take heed to until those words and the attitude of those words match how they would speak to you. I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for setting them free right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. I thank you for raising them up. This is a new day. It's a new beginning. It's a new vision. Teach them how to draw out of that treasure that's on the inside of them and to begin to realize all of this has been inside of me all along. And it's all inside of you. I thank you and praise you for it. Everybody that received that and agrees, say amen. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I don't know about you, but I had a pretty good time with the Lord today. Go have an awesome week.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.